We are thrilled to be together for Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, where Jesus entered Jerusalem knowing he would be tried and crucified. Dad's sermon today, Earth's Coming King, follows Jesus' ride on a donkey through Jerusalem, going to the cross and shedding his blood for the sins of the world.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is a special Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. And so where they rode into the city of Jerusalem and crowned, called him king. Well, he wasn't the king then, but he's going to be the king someday. So we're going to look at Earth's coming king, when Jesus Christ literally rules the whole world. But before that, let me read just two or three letters here, maybe a little more. We'll just to see how we go. But we get so many nice letters, and we just want to thank you. And some of them are so interesting that we like to share them with others. And we get letters, and they enjoy the letters. And one lady even thought we should have more letters and less sermon. And so I don't know about what we can do about that, but we'll look at what we have. So our first letter is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this is a man, and he writes, "I'm crippled, disabled, and can't work anymore besides being old. I am struggling to survive, and I don't have much to live on, but I want to help your ministry with what little I can. Your work helps so many that can't help themselves. This is the Lord's money because I don't have any, but I am blessed." And she said he said something here. He says, "This is the Lord's money." And just remember that, dear friends, every penny you hold in your hand and I hold in my hand, that belongs to the Lord. It's all his. He just lets us hold us and use it for a few years. And it's just like the store. God owns the store and we work in it. That's exactly it. Here's Wichita, Kansas. "I can't wait to hear which country you're praying for. When I hear, I quick grab a pen and jot it down on my prayer list. Then I mark the country on my wall prayer map." And so, as you know, every week we pray for another part of the persecuted church, some part of the world. And people say, "Well, how do you know which countries to pray for?" Well, there's an organization called Open Doors, and they make a list of 50 places in the world that are being persecuted, and then they list 10 of the worst places. And so we pray, take that list, and we choose that list and pray for somebody one of these persecuted countries. And if you'd like to know more about Open Doors Ministry, you can get it on the internet, ODUSA, opendoorsusa.org. And you can pray more and get information on persecuted church if you're interested. Here's Sac City, Iowa. "At 100 and a half years old, I can't walk too good anymore. Lucky I can get around in my home. I thank my Jesus, my Lord. He gives me his grace and love for all he has done for me in my 100 and a half years. And he says, when the time is done, I will be with my best friend, Jesus. That will be so nice." And so that's wonderful that here he is, past 100, and he's still witnessing for Jesus. And that's what we need to do, you know. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 92, verse 14, that they shall still bear fruit in old age. And as long as we have breath, we can witness and we can pray. And that's why we're here. God has a reason for us. One more letter I want to share, and that's Edwardsburg, Michigan. And this person writes, this is a lady, she writes, "Thank you, Pastor, for helping me get through a hard year. My husband was diagnosed with lung cancer in January 2017. He fought a brave battle until God took him home in December 2017. I listened to your program many times over the year, and God and his word kept me and my husband strong and courageous. It was as was commanded to Joshua. He was with me." And so that's part of the ministry of the Christian Worship Hour. And that is God, as God told Isaiah, "Comfort ye, my people." And so we think of those who are going through hard times, those who are lost the loved ones, maybe a shut-in. We think of the young people, Lord, and all of the problems that they have, the temptations they have, and the beautiful children. And we have children right in. They understand the sermon. I preach a very plain sermon, and they open their hearts to Jesus. And so I'm just praying that today that you open your heart to Jesus. Many of you, not only the children, but the old gray heads and all, come to Jesus. And then at the close of the service, I'm going to give you our number where you can write, and you may want to send us a gift. You may want to send us a letter. You may just want to ask a question, whatever it is. So get your pencil and paper ready. But let's look at Earth's coming King. And as I say, this is Palm Sunday, and that's the day that Jesus rode the little donkey down the side of the Mount of Olives, crossed the Brook Kidron, and into the holy city, the city of Jerusalem. And the people tear down the branches from the trees, and some of them even took outer garments and laid them down so Jesus could ride into Jerusalem. And he rode on a little donkey. And some people say, well, if he was a king and so great, why didn't he ride on a horse, a fiery horse? But in those days, many times, kings did ride on the donkeys to show the importance of the common people, and that was their custom. And so Jesus rides a donkey. And the people all ride out that he is Hail King, King of the Jews, and that what he is a king. He came as a king, and he is a king now. And he's waiting to come to this earth. He's going to rule and reign on this earth. That's what our sermon is about today. So briefly, Jesus lets the crowd hail him, call him king then, rejoice in then. And he can't rule yet. He can't go to the throne and set up his kingdom yet because he has a work to do. Yeah, and that is he has to go to the cross. He has to shed his blood for the sins of the world. He has to go and put into Joseph's tomb 3 days and three nights. And then he comes from the dead, and he rises from the dead. And then, after that, he will be proclaimed King of the Jews, King of the world, and he'll literally come to this earth and reign. Remember the words of Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. The prophet writes, "The government shall be upon his shoulder," that is, on Jesus. "The government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And Isaiah is saying here, and other Old Testaments in the Old Testament prophets also said the same thing. This Jesus, the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, he's going to come and he's going to sit. He'll literally, physically sit on David's throne. And this wonderful Messiah sitting on David's throne is going to rule over Israel, and he's going to rule over the whole wide world. And something even more fantastic than that, we're told in the scriptures, he's going to rule forever, forever. Because Jesus died once on the cross, he will never die again. And now he's coming to sit on David's throne. And so he's going to rule and reign forever. And when he talks about this in this prophecy, some people don't believe it. And some people try to say, oh, it's just an allegory. Or they'll say it's a parable. And he doesn't mean it. But I'm going to tell you, it is a literal kingdom, a literal throne that he's going to sit on, a literal, physical, actual king. And he's going to have a kingdom. And that's going to happen just as sure as the sun comes up in the east. So let's make it clear. Take a closer look at this. First of all, God's kingdom on earth is coming. Jesus Christ is a king, and he's going to come, and he's going to have a kingdom. And just before his ascension into heaven, the disciples ask him this question. They said in Acts 1, verse 6, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They were talking about a literal, physical, political kingdom that would overthrow the Roman Empire. And so that's what they're talking about. And so notice, Jesus answers this question. And when he answers them, this is what he says. He says that he didn't deny that he had a kingdom coming. But what he was saying is that the Father would pick the time. In Acts 1, verse 7, Jesus said, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. Jesus is saying, a kingdom, you bet. Yes, I'll have a kingdom. When? When the Father sends me, when the time is ready. Many years later, maybe 35 or 40 years later, John writes these words, and he says in Revelation 11, 15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our love and of his Christ, Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. This goes hand in hand with the prophecy of Isaiah that said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the whole world government is going to be upon his shoulder, Isaiah 9, 6. That day is coming that when the Lord is going to be the king over all the earth. God's kingdom is going to be established in a future day. And the prophets and the apostles all spoke of that future coming of Jesus Christ. For instance, you look in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and he talks about a literal throne of David. It contains what we're in this chapter. It contains what we are, the covenant that God made with David. And today we call it the Davidic covenant. And that covenant had to do with David when he said, I will be his father and he shall be my son. Verse 14, God is speaking about Jesus Christ and God the Father. And in the 16th verse of this chapter, God says, his only begotten son, Jesus, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Thy throne shall be established forever. And later on, God affirms this covenant with an oath in Psalm 89. This is what he says. My covenant will I not break, nor will I alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, that will I not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne is a son before me. It shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Psalm 89, verses 34 to 37. That oath, that promise is as sure as God Almighty himself. So you mark it down, Buster. God's son, Jesus, is going to come, and he's going to come to the throne of David. He's going to literally sit on a literal throne, and he's going to rule over the whole wide world. Just think of now, be sure you may get this straight. It is going to be a literal kingdom. He's not speaking about a spiritual house. He talks about the house of David's going to stand forever. And it's not speaking about a spiritual house. He's not speaking about a material house. He's speaking about a political house. With a royal family, a family of descendants. When God speaks of a kingdom, he's referring to a place, a definite place, and it's ruled by a king. Nothing imaginary about this. Nothing fictitious about this. He spoke of a real, actual, literal kingdom. And when God spoke to David about a throne, he meant the literal seat of a literal king, just like the throne in the King of England or the King of Jordan. It is an actual, literal place. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. The throne of David is empty today. No descendant sits upon it. David's descendants did occupy that throne for centuries. You remember in the Old Testament, they always had these kings. David's descendants occupied it for centuries. And then they sinned against God and rebelled against God. And God put them into captivity. And so it's in 70 AD, Titus comes against Jerusalem. And the people of Israel are scattered all over the world. And they're scattered for a long time. And then they're going to come back when Jesus comes again. And they're going to rule and reign over all the earth. We're told that, for instance, in Luke 1, verse 31 to 33. Look at this. It's when the angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary, and he gives her, and this is what he tells her. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. Gabriel says, he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so God is going to take the people after they were scattered all over all the earth. He's going to bring them back. As a matter of fact, Hosea talks about them being scattered. He says in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5, the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice. That's the day we're in now. But then when Jesus comes again, it's going to happen. Here the king comes again. And that's what happened. The Jews were looking for, the Magi were looking for him, the wise men looking from the east. And they say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? But when the king of the Jews came to the temple and Jesus came to the people, what did they do with him? They cast him away. And Pilate says unto him, put a sign over him. This is Jesus, the king of the Jews. And the Jews came and says, don't put that over there, over his cross. He said he was king of the Jews. And Pilate says, what I've written, and I won't change one bit of it. And Pilate was right. He is the king of the Jews. He didn't look like much of a king on the cross, but when he was raised from the dead and he comes back the second time, you'll see him as a great king, a wonderful king. And so Peter talks about that, and he talks about what it'll be like in the day that when he comes. He says in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 32, men and brethren, let us speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that's the Davidic covenant, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. This is Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2. And he says he's going to raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul should not be left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God hath raised up, whereby we are all witnesses, whom God raised up. And then again, a little bit later, Peter says, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. One reason that Jesus Christ could not be held by that in that tomb was that Davidic covenant. When God says, that son, my son, he'll come back from the dead and he's going to rule on that throne. And after he's in Hades 3 days and three nights, Jesus comes back and he lives forever. And you can mark it down. Mark it down on your calendar, friend. Jesus Christ is coming again, just as sure as a day is long. So God's kingdom then comes. It's going to be situated in Jerusalem. And then God declares that he will seat his son on his holy hill of Zion. That is, Zion means the city of Jerusalem. The first mention of Zion in Scripture is in 2 Samuel 5, verses 6 to 9. And Zion is a hill in Jerusalem. It's the higher part of the city. But later on, they took Zion to mean the higher part and the lower part. And Zion is a city of Jerusalem, and that's exactly the place that belongs to the Jews, and that's the exact place where Jesus is going to come, and he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And David's throne was in Jerusalem. It was never anywhere else. And so he's going to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. Jesus, the king, is in heaven. He's not seated on the throne of David right now. David's throne is of the earth, earthy, and Jesus is in heaven through sitting by the throne of God. But someday he's going to return to this earth, and he's going to sit upon that city, on that throne of David in Jerusalem, literally. Today, Jesus is rejected on earth, but not for long. Hebrews 10:13 reminds us, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And what he's simply saying, Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God right now, but not for long. He's going to come back. And all of these enemies, who are his enemies? those who reject Jesus Christ, those who reject the Bible, those who have nothing to do with church, nothing to do with the things of God. All of these people that have rejected him, Jesus Christ is going to come, and you know what's going to happen. They're going to have to kneel and bow their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and it will drive them crazy. But Jesus Christ is going to have the right, and may I suggest that you make your peace with God right now. In the second psalm, it tells of how the people say, we want to break his bonds. We want to break his bands. We want to break his testament, his word, his commandments. We don't want a God to rule over us. We want to be our own God. And the psalmist writes and says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Come to Jesus. Make peace with Jesus. You don't want to be on. You don't want to be his enemy, do you? You want to be a part of that kingdom. And you can be a part of that by just calling on the name of the Lord and saying, dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And dear Jesus, just please take them away. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And you can follow Jesus. You'll never be perfect. We'll have our flaws as long as we live. But when we have those fail, we just says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll take all of our sins away. And when we make new sins, he always forgives them by just coming to Jesus. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus is going to come, and this enthronement, he's going to be seen by the whole world. God said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And Matthew throws additional light upon it. In Matthew 25, verse 31, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And this has reference to this coming again of Jesus Christ and when he's going to come and he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of Jerusalem and he's going to rule all over Israel and all over the Middle East and all over the world. From the ends of the world, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Remember what God says, remember what God's word says in St. John 11:15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Isaiah says the government shall be upon his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And oh, I am going to rejoice because you know something, you know what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is, what is he? He's the head of the church. The church is going to rule the whole world by the principles of Jesus Christ. So you better get right with God. Get right with God. And this is indicated in Psalm 2 where God says, coming to the throne of David, ask of me and I will give the heathen nations and thine inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth from sea to sea. And Psalm 72 says about the coming rule of Jesus Christ over the whole world. The psalmist said he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river under the ends of the earth. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And blessed be the glorious name forever. And let the whole world be filled with his glory. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's the king. Have you made him the king of your life, the king of your heart? Have you given your allegiance to him? And you can rule and reign with Jesus. You say, oh, I've got too many sins. He wouldn't have me. I don't have an education. Or I don't have any money. Or I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. And Jesus loves every last one of us. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And you come to repentance, simply tell Jesus, oh, Jesus, please take us. I prayed that prayer when I was 10 years old. That's 87 years ago now, 86 years ago. And it's just, I remember it as plain as yesterday. And you say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you did that, you write to us. You write to us. Now, get your pencil and paper. And it's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need to hear from you. So we need to pray for us. And you want to write to us, we'll send you a little Bible study that we have. And this month of April, it's a beautiful study. Marks of the mature Christian and how we can be able to grow in Jesus. And so you write to us. And if you want to send us a gift, you can send it on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And whenever you send a penny, you can know that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we'll spend every penny exactly the way that every penny we'll be careful with it. They audit our books. So now we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iraq. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the multitudes of people everywhere that are praying to you right now to come into their heart. Oh, and maybe, Lord, some have drifted away from you. They were walked with you, and they drifted into sin. And that's so easy to do. Now they're coming back, and you'll never turn them away. You'll accept every one of them with open arms. And, Lord, we pray for the children as they watch. Pray for the young people as they make their decisions in life. Pray for those on beds of sickness and those who mourn the loss of a loved one. And those people, dear Lord, they're lonely all by themselves. Help them to know that you're with them. And you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. So once again now, I'm going to give an especially for you on shortwave. Love to hear from y'all. We're in shortwave in North Korea. All and 90% of the world's population covered by on a shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And send a gift if you can, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we'll go as long as we can go. And only is God, and we just, all our only income is from you, the people of God. So we're just putting it in your hands. And so now we're going to look forward to next week, because it's Easter Sunday. And what a wonderful day that is, a day of rejoicing. And just remember, God loves you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. And someday, by the grace of God, if you accept Jesus, we'll see you in heaven. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.